Possibly.
Relaxing.
9 o'clock.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome to Private Post-Secondary. The Finance Committee will commence at 10 a.m.
Yeah. Kevin LaMountain, State Board Staff.
Keith Blanchard, State Board Staff.
Paul Mittman, Board.
Dick Liebke, Board.
Okay. We have a packed agenda for the day. So why don't we get started right off the bat? I sense...
audio minutes.
Do I sense minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Do a vote.
Okay. We're going to vote that the audio minutes recorded, and I'd like a motion.
I make that motion.
I will second. Paul Mittman, approved.
Dick Liebke, approved.
Good. Good. Harrington College, come on down.
Robert Henderson?
Robert's on. Robert.
Robert, are you on the phone?
All right.
Skip.
We're going to skip Carrington College and go to Galvanize. Can we galvanize this meeting? It's almost the holidays. We may as well have a... Can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, Diana Vowles.
Hi, Diana. And do we have anyone on the phone?
Yes, Jesse Kittle. I'm the VP controller.
Sorry, could you say that again? Because we have a different name here, I think.
Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, Kittle, K-I-T-T-E-L.
Okay, great. Anyone else? Okay. Would you like to make a statement, Ms. Al?
Sure. Happy to be here again. Good to see everyone. We are here following up from our last quarter meeting, give you an update what's going on the Phoenix campus, and then Jesse, who's our controller, can talk about any company financials. The Phoenix campus is continuing to hum along. It's a thriving community. We've got about 140 companies on the campus, in addition to the students going through the software engineering and data science programs. We've graduated 150 students to date. Our placement rates in Phoenix continue to be very strong. Our hiring partners keep coming back to us for repeat hires, so that's a good sign. And demand in the Phoenix market for junior developers continues to be very strong. It's actually stronger in this market than a lot of our other markets for the junior category of developers, which is what we're training for. So where is education in Phoenix? As you're aware, we acquired Hack Reactor last year. Our Galvanize program was our web development program for Galvanize was a very rigorous program, and since day one, you've heard me tell stories that it has been more difficult to find qualified applicants in this market than any other market. Finding people that have the skills to pass the entry assessment into the program. We acquired Hack Reactor last year, and we've moved to the software engineering model, the SEI training program, which is even more rigorous. So we took what was a challenging situation, and we made it a little more challenging. However, what we're delivering at the end of the program is phenomenal talent, and that's what our hiring partners are demanding. So we're in this interesting conundrum that don't have enough people to get into the program, but the outcomes out of the program are phenomenal, and our employers don't want us to water down the program in order to get more people into it. So we continue to have a very rigorous program. So our chief product officer, Tony Phillips, is actually coming in today. He heads up education for the entire company, and we're looking specifically at the Phoenix market. We have a plan to make improvements in Phoenix to help our class fill. So while we've delivered phenomenal outcomes, we continue to be challenged to fill classes. We've had small enrollment numbers. Our students are for the most part, getting jobs immediately after the program, but we still have small enrollment numbers. So what are we doing about it? We took the third quarter in Phoenix and took a hard look at the program and how we're bringing people into the program. And we have added more in-person, like study sessions, prep sessions, help people understand what the program is all about and prepare for it so that they can pass the assessment. And we are moving to a model, same program, same outcome, same curriculum, but our delivery model is going to be a little bit different going forward, which is why Tony's coming in. He actually just landed on his airplane and is heading this way, but he'll probably miss this part of the meeting. But what we're doing is we're doing a little more cross-campus collaboration. So we're taking the more advanced tech markets like San Francisco and Denver and helping the Phoenix students as well by utilizing technology to collaborate with the other campuses. So our students in Phoenix can collaborate with the students in the other markets who, for the most part, are at a little higher level on projects, on pairing. And so we're trying to have the further evolved markets help Phoenix more, and we're relaunching in Phoenix. Basically, we're relaunching for the February cohort. So we intentionally, in the third and the fourth quarter, kind of paused a little bit. So you see very low enrollment numbers here, so that we can gear up and do it right in February, because we found the Phoenix market has been a challenging market in terms of getting enrollment there.
Okay.
So that is our overview. We feel like we're taking the right steps to manage our expenses and to create sustainable programs.
Thank you very much. So, since this is the Finance Committee,
yes,
and the Phoenix campus has, I think, financially has outperformed the other campuses, galvanized.
Yes, that's correct.
Q3 shows a loss of $175,000 compared to a loss of $13 million. Parent company. So I guess the question is, what's the plan overall? Because if you're saying that the Phoenix market lags behind applicants relative to San Francisco and Denver and Seattle and New York, those people lose more money than you do here. So I would say you're doing a better job. So you should tell Jesse that you're doing a better job than everybody else. So I guess the question is, given that this is at this point $110 million in losses, what's the game plan?
So Jesse can speak to the overall company financials and in our most recent investments into the company. I will add one comment before he does that, though. Part of our challenge is one of the things we're fortunate about in Phoenix is our lower cost structure here. It costs less to operate the school. Facilities, staffing.
Mike, towards the end of the table. I do this all the time, Jesse. Moving. Okay, good.
I'm too close to the mic. Got it. So the Phoenix market, we benefit from the lower cost basis, which is how we've been able to show smaller losses than the rest of the company. They're in places like San Francisco, New York, places where to operate a business is much more expensive. So that's the difference between the markets. We, as a company, have taken significant steps in trimming expenses where we can and managing costs better. And I'll let Jesse add commentary to that from the overall company perspective.
Yes. When it comes to our overall performance, we started out in Q1 and Q2 losing more than what we are. We're currently in a turnaround or restructuring, which we spoke to last quarter. We've subsequently closed our New York co-working campus, and that was a major driver of a lot of these expenses. And we're focusing on education more so than that co-working in these higher cost areas. With that restructuring, there's a lot of savings, and we're actually looking at probably a less than a $14 million net loss for actual all of 2019. We're making a lot of progress in Q4. With that, we also raised over $12 million of new capital in the last 2 months as well since our last meeting. And So our investors are highly engaged and are following through on those commitments that they've made to the organization. And so you can see on our balance sheet, we're in a very strong cash position.
Okay. Well, as one of my former trustees frequently point out, positive cash flow is more important to me. And so since your cash flow is positive, I guess that's a good sign. And I think as far as private post-secondary is concerned, the state is not vulnerable, and you're certainly doing a good job.
Yeah, and from that, we're only at a minus 2.3 million for operations or cash flow from operations, whereas our 2019 negative operating cash flow. So we've made significant improvements to our cash flow and our operations of the organization.
Okay.
I have no questions.
Okay. Great.
One other comment I wanted to add. Tony Phillips, who's flying in today, he was going to be here this morning with me. His flight was a little delayed, but he's going to start attending these meetings, and we're in the process of filling out our change of contact form on the website as well. Merrill Krish has left the organization, and so we'll be replacing Merrill, and that process might already be in place on your website. I'm not sure. I think our regulatory folks at headquarters have already started that process, but I wanted to note that. Okay.
You'll still be coming.
Pardon me?
You'll still be coming.
I can still come to the meetings.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. So we need to make a motion.
I make a motion to grant the renewal license for Galvanize. Yes, and that we would maintain, there's a stipulation to the approval that we would maintain the surety bond of
$230,000.
And continue quarterly reporting.
I'll second that.
Okay, so maintain the bond and continue quarterly reporting.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you agree to those stipulations?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good.
I will call the vote. Paul Whitman, aye.
Dick Lipke, aye.
All right, the ayes have it. All right, happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye, Jesse. And Foster. Please introduce yourselves.
Hi, good morning. My name is Heather McAllister. I'm the General Counsel of Penn Foster. And on the phone, we have Rebecca McGovern and Kathy Plunkett, our regulatory directors. And next to me is Tom Wishard, our controller.
Hey, your
Tom.
Name?
Wishard.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you. Would you like to make a statement?
We're here to renew our license, and I was going to go over our financial status for the quarter and year to date, both our college program and for our parent company.
Okay.
So I'll start with the Penn Foster College. For the quarter, we had very strong financial results. In fact, this is one of our better quarters in the history of the company. We've had continued growth in our revenue, mainly from our vet tech programs. Revenue was about just over $6 million for the quarter, $18 million year to date. Our educational income is $2.2 million. Year-to-date, $5.6 million. If you look at some of the expense categories, our expenses are fairly consistent, although overall they are declining. We've had more focus on more internal development of our content, which has helped to reduce our costs. The more we develop internally, the less external product we need to buy for our students. We also have our T2L software program fully depreciated now. So you'll see that our depreciation expense is practically non-existent for our college program. Net income was $2.2 million. Income after tax is $2.5 million for the quarter. We did have a tax adjustment using the new ASC 606 revenue recognition principles. We found that we will be able to take valuation allowance against our deferred tax asset, so we'll be able to release part of that reserve. So based on that true-up, we actually had a favorable tax adjustment for the quarter. Year-to-date, our tax is in line with our effective tax rate. So year-to-date, we expect to be about $5.4 million net income after tax. Is there any questions on the Penn Foster College before I skip over to the consolidated company?
Okay. You're three quarters into this fiscal year.
Yes.
Correct.
So that's a slight update from the documents you already submitted. I think you submitted quarter 30.
Right.
9:30.
Okay, good.
For the parent company also had very strong results. Our revenue for the quarter was $25 million, about almost $75 million year-to-date. Our educational income is $3.5 million on, let's say, year-to-date, $7.5 million educational income. Again, our expenses have been coming down, more of the internal content development, more focused advertising. We also had revenue growth, mainly from our high school programs and the BDC program. We've had improved collections from our students. We've had growth in our B2B channels as well, mainly with Chrysler, Amazon, and Guild. At the bottom there, you'll see that we did have some
programs we're offering. Curious.
Mainly trade programs, like for Amazon, it'd be mostly trade skill programs for them. In the Guild program, it's more in the retail type services, how to do a retail management, and you know, more on that side. For the restructuring, you'll see toward the bottom there, we did have some extraordinary and unusual charges. That's a result of some of the restructuring from our Ashworth College purchase. So there was some severance and legal costs involved with that. Those are one-time costs that are being phased out. So net income after tax for the quarter was nearly $5.5 million, and then year-to-date, $3.6 million. So again, that was one of our best performances ever in the history of the company. We continue to grow. We continue to focus on cutting costs, being more efficient, and you know, the results kind of speak for themselves. So those are the highlights. If you have any questions.
Okay. Well done. It's got to feel good.
It does.
Yeah.
Cash flow is very positive as well. So
good. So you have a fair amount of cash on hand then?
Yeah, we're generating about $20 million cash annually.
Okay.
So that's pretty healthy.
All right. Very good. No questions.
How many students are enrolled here in Arizona?
We have 30,000 overall. And Rebecca, how many are exactly in Arizona? Do you know?
Just over, just right under 1,000 students between our degree programs and vocational programs.
How many?
1,000, just under 1,000 Arizona students.
Stanfield, does Penn Foster have a surety bond or not? In my notes, I didn't put this.
Yes, they do.
Do. We need to increase it to 55,000. I think from 50.
I'll show 50,499.
Currently have 50,499, and the calculation with the revenue provided in the renewal is 55,300.
And Foster's on boarding, which be
correct.
I'm not sure if we're allowed to take
I don't see any need to keep them on quarterly report.
Okay.
Trending positively.
We'll entertain a motion.
Yes. I would make a motion to approve the 2020 regular vocational program and degree granting license. Stipulation that the surety bond be increased to $55,000. It just increases due to the larger enrollment.
Understood.
But that we would remove you from quarterly reporting.
And I think $55,391.
Correct. Yep.
Do you agree to that stipulation?
Yes.
We do. Thank you.
Do you agree to not come in?
We'll miss you, but yeah, thank you. So.
Second. Roll call. Paul Mitten, aye.
Dick Lipke, aye.
Thank you so much. Right. Have a nice holiday.
Yep.
Norton Desert. Please introduce yourselves.
Good morning. I'm Mark Percello, Vice President of Finance and Accounting. I have with me Rob Exum, our Vice President of Financial Services.
Sorry, could you say your name?
Rob Exum, Finance Vice President of Student Affairs.
Okay.
And we also have with us in the crowd our President, Tracy Lee, and our Vice President of Operations, Chris Caraway.
And you guys don't want to join the party. All right. Would you like to make a statement?
We would. We continue to experience great results. We are experiencing some of our best start and enrollment numbers in our company's history. We continue to have positive cash flow, very strong EBITDA margins, strong net income margins. Everything is going really, really favorable at our organization.
Wow.
Okay. I think I don't have it in front of me, but I noticed your enrollment, I think, is over 1,200. It's about 1,000
so,
a year ago.
Wrong. Yeah.
I know one of the concerns that you had became an employee company when you made that switch roughly a year ago, you were going to take a hit on your coupon.
We did.
So you're posting a letter. Having any problem.
No. We have the letter of credit. We just don't have it in hand yet, but the bank, my representative at the bank has told me everything's approved. They're just waiting for final signatures. We should have that any day now in hand. And then we'll be delivering that to you guys as soon as we get that.
The letter of credit.
Letter of credit is really Department of Ed.
Right, but I'm sure you guys would want a copy of it.
Yeah, we want a letter.
Yeah. Paul would like a million. I would like a couple million.
And we would take you off quarterly report.
Right. What do you attribute the change? It's pretty positive trending there.
We've had, as you can imagine, a lot of things were going on as we were undertaking the ESOP, and there was a lot of activities. We had several high-priority things going on at that time. We were doing the ESOP. We did a change of location. We did, there was one other high, we were going through our reaccreditation at the same time. So people were kind of not completely focused. We made some changes in our leadership team as well, and we put our eye back on the ball, and everything is really, really going
okay. Good. So as you go forward, you have probably some scheduled transactions that are coming up between the ESOP and the legacy owners. Will that happen before year end, or will it happen after the first of the year?
I'm going to accrue it for year end, and then I will, and the cash payment will take place just after the first of the year.
Very good. Okay. Congrats. That's great.
Thank
great
you.
News.
Well, I'm going to make the motion.
Yep, you make good motions, so.
I move to approve the regular vocational program and degree granting license renewal with the stipulation to maintain the $20,000 surety bond and remove.
We can meet those stipulations.
Agree to that?
And we agree not to be here.
Like seeing
so excited, yeah.
We enjoy it too.
For those in the audience, this I think Sonoran Desert Institute started out and still is focused on gunsmithing and ballistics, and so at some point I imagine Wild West town where somebody is teaching one or two people how to
We're really happy
That's
with
not
that.
Not true. I just made that up. No. But it is based on gunsmithing, and you guys have.
We have a very unique curriculum and student base, and our students are very. It's very niche.
All right. Well, we need a second.
I second the motion.
All right. Paul Mittman, aye.
Dick Libke, aye.
You guys have it. See you guys around.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
All right, before we move on to our quarterly reports, Carrington College going once. Carrington College going twice. Carrington College is getting, we're going to have to send them some coal.
They're a California school, and I think that gentleman might be on Pacific Standard Time, so. I don't know.
We have that issue all the time.
Yeah, so it's very likely that he'll appear on the phone right around 11 o'clock today. So,
all in favor of Carrington College buying anybody who's left here lunch?
Hi.
Hey, Arizona School of Integrated Studies. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, ABL, sorry. Advanced Business.
Good morning, Susan Morris, Senior Vice President of Advanced Business Learning. Opening statements. We are continuing to experience net income, steady increases in net income. Our projections for our fiscal year 2020, which starts January 1st, we're on a fiscal calendar year, are quite significant. Several things have happened in the last calendar quarter, last several months. We're expecting, on a conservative level, a projection of triple enrollment in early 2020. So here's what happened. We have just opened our second ABL Cyber Academy location in Maryvale. We have gone into partnership with the Maryvale Revitalization Corporation. Our finances, that was about a $15,000 to $25,000 investment in labor and equipment to set up an entire new school. We haven't seen the ROI on that investment yet because we just literally opened on November 6th and are engaged in significant marketing activities at this time. We expect a significant ROI from that investment. The intention is that we be in Maryvale in partnership with the MRC to provide education opportunities to the citizens of Maryvale. And the philosophy is a hand up, not a handout for those citizens. This is our slow time of year also with the holidays coming. However, the Arizona Coalition for Military Families, ACRONUS, and the Army National Guard are all engaging with us on the to send us students in the first quarter. The other thing that has happened is there was just an announcement on December 3rd an organization called NACRA, North America Cyber Range Alliance, was just announced. And the ABL Cyber Range is a critical component of that alliance offering our range and our courses to the NACRA alliance members and participants.
What do you mean range?
Cybersecurity range. That's our hands-on part of our education.
Okay.
We offer our courseware, of course, and then our students have full access to our cybersecurity range for the hands-on experience, what we know to be true, and what we say is the certification will get you the interview, the hands-on experience will get you the job. We're running about an 85% placement rate at this particular point.
Good tagline.
It's a great tagline because it's real. Let's see. Of course.
Again, I'm sorry.
No. That's pretty much the update. Terry, I owe you, I believe, the new form for Q3 2019. I don't believe that I included it in what I sent you. I have a hard copy with my signature. I can leave, or I can send that to you when I get back to the office. Okay. Thank you, and sorry about that, miss. Huh? The new form for Q3. You have the previous 2 years. I realized when I was going over. Yes, but I missed the new form, so my apologies. I will get that to you as soon as I get back to the office. Questions?
Okay. I was wondering, based on your submission using the old, you showed a net income three-quarters of this fiscal year of a little over $57,000. Whereas last year, you were only at $6,800 in net income. So given the investments that you just cited in Maryvale, so what do you attribute the almost equal increase in?
So there are several things. The main factor is it really has taken us close to 3 years to be recognized in the community as the go-to school for cybersecurity. It has taken that long. I think we probably thought it would take a year and a half, and it's taken.
Was there some tipping point, or it was just that it's gradual, gradual, mm-hmm. gradual, and then all of a sudden something happened this year, and your enrollment went up, your costs already in place?
I think there are two tipping points. Some competitive schools are no longer. Some of our competitors are no longer. So, Arizona at Work. When the students now, through the laws of WIOA, have to pick three schools, there really aren't three schools anymore that are competitive. Everybody was picking us. 90% of the students were picking us anyway. But now our students are referring. The Arizona at Work counselors are referring us more than ever. And really what has happened is our cybersecurity range has gotten the recognition throughout so many organizations throughout the state. We're also our other lines of business where we were significantly, that was pulling our numbers down. We have corrected that, and our commercial business is doing much better. We're able now that the school is up and running to spend more time on all those other lines of business. So really a multiple, I wouldn't say it's any one thing, but a convergence of multiple very positive steps that have happened. The reputation obviously being a major one.
Your leadership.
Thank you. And him too, he was triple booked today. So
just to be clear, your projection for year end will be approximately how much net profit?
We're going to be close to what third quarter is looking like right now.
Pretty flat from third to
flat
fourth quarter.
Because, again, this is a very slow time for new students, and we're not going to get the new students at Maryvale
until January.
Until January.
Okay. And cash flow is good?
Cash flow is fine. We have $25,000-$30,000 in the bank. Changes every day, depending on what bills I pay, but we're in excellent shape for the rest of the year.
Great. Well, congratulations. It's a great way to finish the year.
Quite a difference from when we first started coming here. So we're quite pleased and exhaling quite a bit about that. And we know that 2020 will be a wonderful year for us.
Yeah, great. Well, we toast you, but they don't let us drink during these meetings. So
thank you.
Okay. The only thing that I would say, and I have no idea if this is reading too many business journal articles about opportunity zones, chances are you are in an opportunity zone in Maryvale. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, with the school improving its performance, you may want to look into that. I assume that you're leasing space there. But if you have investors who would want to purchase land, if you find, you know, talk to or pick up an article on it, and I have no idea whether this is something that is feasible for you, but if you're going to be in a community like Maryvale and your commitment is said like a hand up, you know, be there for a long time, pretty much a 10-year commitment, but the tax advantages. May be able to attract another investor, where you could get yourself own the location. So it's just something for you to look into, but it's your business.
No, that's it's a great suggestion. Actually, obviously, as part of our license requirements, Kim Darling has our copy of our lease at our new location, and we just owe her one more document that I sent her the wrong surety bond, but anyway, we're going to finish that up today. The lease arrangement that we have, so that there is no cash flow going, additional cash flow going out every month, is our small percentage of our income is going to our landlord. So our school income might be slightly less, but we are at the moment, and that's in the lease, it's all documented, that they're going to get commission on, because they're helping us with marketing, it's a real partnership.
Okay.
So they have a vested interest.
Okay.
Because the more students they bring into us, the more money they earn. And so it's kind of a win-win, and that's how we set up the MOU in the first place, and that's how the lease is written. So we have a whole new company marketing for us.
Well, obviously that helped you increase your enrollment.
Enrollment, yes.
So will you expense out the commission you're paying them?
Yes. There hasn't been any yet, again, but of course that will be a new line item.
Okay.
On that commission.
Sounds good.
We'll talk to your accountant about what we just talked about.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the things that we see frequently for schools that come through here is that the balance sheet is always, you know, it's kind of fluctuates. Basically, what happens is a long-term asset by owning property, if that's what you wanted to do, would really strengthen your balance. Your current ratio could improve, but that's, you know, something for you guys to figure out. And I have no, I have like all these opportunity zone funds. I'm not an investor in one. It's just like, I'm reading about it all the time.
I actually love the idea, and it hadn't really been on our radar screen at all or crossed our minds. And Tom and I, when we start off every new fiscal year, it's what's going to be really, really different this year. It's at the top of the list. Thank you, Dr. Millman.
All right.
Happy holidays, thanks, everybody. Yeah. I will email to you when I get back to the office, Terry. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Now it's time for Arizona School of Integrated Studies.
Morning.
Please introduce yourselves.
So I'm Laura Todd. I'm the Director of Operations. I've got Michelle here. She's our Director of Education. On the phone, we...
Michelle Cordero.
Sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
And then Shannon... Shannon Yerick,
or Shannon
Yerkic, the CEO. And then we should also have Shannon Bonder, the controller, and Griselda Martinez, she's our director of financial aid, should be on the phone. And I'll just make a really brief operational statement, then I'll let Shannon take over, the two Shannons take over to go over any financials. We've had some exciting things happen. We have a new pathway agreement with Bryan University. So them, along with Prescott College, we have agreements with both of them now to accept our students' credits for transfer. So we'll be in the new year really developing some more marketing strategies with them. We're working closely to, market cross students. You know, some of them may be coming for the summer to do the massage program, but definitely a great opportunity for our students to be able to transfer up if they want to further their education.
So in other words, you're saying that the students who are currently enrolled in the therapy program can transfer towards their AA or BA or BS?
Yeah, there's several different options. And in fact, with Prescott College, they can actually create a degree, which is a really interesting opportunity for students that are looking to move forward like that. Yeah.
Both schools are licensed through Arizona Private Business.
Correct, yeah.
Prescott and...
Yeah, and, okay. Since we have a campus in Prescott, it's a great opportunity, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I'll let...
Exciting news do you have to...
We're ending the year fairly strong. We're very close to our budgets, even with, the gal before us was saying this is typically a slow time of year. Michelle's done some great work with our curriculum. We've upgraded our books, our textbooks, which has been widely... positively received by the students and the staff. So that was something that just happened in the last few months. So a lot of good things happening.
Good. Finance committee stuff. So that was the exciting part. Now take us to the next even more exciting news.
Sure, I'll let Shannon kind of go over that with you.
Okay. With
yeah,
Shannon
from an operator. No problem. This is your kick. From an operational perspective, I'll kind of add on to what Laura was indicating. In regards to our financials, items that were concluded that would impact us going forward is we did successfully close our East Coast locations in New York and Maryland. We also provided all refunds, cash refunds associated with those, and those have receded. We did get clearance letters from the state of Maryland identifying closure of those institutions. We are currently in the final stages of the Department of Education 45-day closeout audit for the Finger Lakes School Massage Group for any other reimbursements that are entitled to those students through the Title IV processing. Additionally, the letter of credit with the Department of Education that currently also associates with ASIS will be reevaluated once the closeout audit is they are anticipating a refund to be occurring there. In regards to a reevaluation or forecasting on what the department's going to require the letter of credit being for Arizona. Additionally, with that, we have submitted our foreign agent application for Tremont Education to operate in the state of Arizona, which was one of the stipulated agreements coming out of the board meeting in October. Additionally, we are in the process and on track to have full submission of all electronic student folders and files your group by this December 20th date. Laura Todd is communicating with staff in regards to the proper way to submit. And the increased maturity bond we are about to finalize, we did communicate some obstacles because of the litigation, which there's no change there with the previous ownership. However, we look to have had that circumvented, and we're working with the carrier to provide last-minute documentation to secure the maturity bond. Their current cash flow in the organization is approximately $80K as well currently in our accounts.
Shannon, can you tell us whether or not you have a current surety bond? I know the board asked you to increase it to $106,000. Is the other bond still in place, still active?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. The other bond had a vote in August, and it is in good standing until, and Laura, if I'm correct, I believe August of 2020.
Correct.
And we are working on final increase to, I believe, $106,000 and change. That was stipulated in the agreement that we provided back from the October meeting.
October meeting.
Okay. I have not yet signed the stipulated agreement until
So can you bring us up to date on Tramonta?
Tramonta in regards to the foreign agent application or overall?
You were to register Tramonta Education with the Arizona Corporation Commission. Has that been done?
Yeah.
They have filed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has it yet been?
Yeah, we have filed.
Hasn't been approved.
I think the other question is the accreditation decision. I think you were on a show cause or
no? We were on deferment. No.
So that's correct. And they met on
that.
Yeah, I can give an update on asset. So in regards to asset, we submitted our response in regards to the deferment on October 31st. The asset didn't meet. It did provide us communication back on a former complaint from the minority owner, Joe Rongo, which they cleared us of any wrongdoing per se or the whatever Rongo accused. And they are meeting on us. They did meet on us on December 3rd, and we're anticipating our reaccreditation to occur. We should receive notification. Typically last year, we received it by December 20th with an early December meeting. So we're anticipating hearing anytime this week or next week about our reauthorization.
Okay. And then in the audit, there were some findings in the notes. I'm not sure exactly which note referencing here, but about financial responsibility and a number of Title IV compliance issues. Have those been responded to?
Yeah, Griselda Martinez, our financial aid director, has responded to that, and I believe she's on the line. So if you had specific questions, she'd be able to kind of go over that with you if you'd like. Griselda, are you there?
Are we speaking to the 2019 audit cap?
Yeah, and I guess specifically to the compliance findings. Have those been addressed?
To the finding on,
I could
put there was on the 2019
in the single audit, the compliance portion, there were a number of findings.
So we had, yeah, there was 8 findings on this report. Do you want me to speak to all of them specifically?
I guess.
Just
the main question is, number one, have they been addressed to the satisfaction of the Department of Ed, number one? And number two, how many of them were new and how many of them were repeat findings?
Okay. So, yes, they have been addressed. So we addressed them at the time of completing our audit cap. There are some of the findings that do take time in processing. There was two specifically that were repeat findings. The others were new. The other five, let me see here. Yes, the other five, actually there were three duplicates from the prior finding, and then the other five were new findings.
Okay. Griselda, ASI had three findings, correct?
Sorry?
ASIS only had 3 findings in the total report, correct?
We had 8 on the 2019. on the report we just closed out.
Yeah, I think the difference is between findings that were similar in nature. So, for example, there was a calculation error due to a new way that they were calculating something that through the Department of Education.
There was only 3 repeat findings, yes.
Yeah.
If that's what you're asking.
The key is that I know that the Education Department really frowns upon findings. And so I guess the question is, do you have the systems in place so that doesn't happen again? A composite score of 0.7, 90-10 calculation at 64%, find yourselves behind the 8-ball with respect to the U.S. government and risk of losing.
Sure, yeah. I know Griswold and I have worked together. There's going to be, we've had meetings, we've had additional trainings. There's been some policy review. We've talked about the upcoming training cycle that the Department of Education is offering for FA representatives. We're going to make sure that all 3 of our people are included in that. So, yes, we've discussed it in detail. She's also submitted responses to every single finding and responded in a way as far as, like, if there was anything required for us to do with the Department of Education, it's been done or it's in process of being done prior to any deadlines that have been set.
Also, we were in attendance at that annual fall in November as well to take advantage of training that was provided there as well with breakout sessions.
Are you on cash monitoring now?
No.
No.
We are.
A good thing. Okay.
You have any questions for us?
It sounds like we won't have our license released until those 2 items are complete. Is that what I understood from what you said?
That is correct.
Okay.
If there's further issues or if there is a negative response that comes back from asset.
And then, Kevin, if you could just send me the instructions for the upload for the documents.
Oh, as far as
for the files.
Itself?
Yeah, that would be great. We have 3 campuses that are complete. Yeah. That's it for us. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Happy holidays.
Too.
Brighton College.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Paul Zignoni, president of Brighton College.
That we knew.
And I'm Sean Dixon, director of student services.
Okay.
So we have a short statement for you today. We have an update on Brighton College. On December 2nd, we submitted our response to DEAC. All the forms were shared with Terry. As for the Brighton College financial situation, that continues to improve with expenses maintaining the same as the prior fiscal year. Additionally, we've evaluated areas within our expenses that will be reflective in the Q4 financials. These changes have created a profit for October and November. Yay. Additionally, revenue has increased by 36% from 2018 to 2019. Our loss projected has decreased by 76%. And our student population has increased by 25%.
What are you projecting the loss at?
So we're going to hover just below where we submitted with Q3.
159.
Yeah, we should be about 130 to 140.
Okay. Cash position, how are you doing with cash?
Right now, as of today in the bank, we're at about 50K.
Okay.
Yeah.
When do you expect to hear again from DEAC?
I would assume by February 1st, based on what we submitted.
Okay.
Could you explain a little bit about the BJI? That is, like, I know that BJI? The BJI, as I understand from the audit, pays the tuition for certain students who like to go through it. It's paid up front, and then they can pay it back to BJI at roughly 10% interest over a period of time.
Up to two years.
And so why, so as a current liability college, how it, is it just that it's a so it's a year that is not yet? Wondering because,
yeah, Sean went through the audit with that.
So we went through the audit with that. So I know that I believe in earlier this year you guys had brought up some concern about it. They did not bring up any concern with the audit. As far as the VJI, that does stand as a liability for the college. In that, that is under tuition in its aspect.
And then BJI is part owned by one of the owners.
Brighton College.
Mr. Clement.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay. See you guys.
See you next quarter.
Okay.
Bo Natale.
Fletcher Pilates.
Hello.
Deborah's on the line. She's hiding in the
My name is Deborah Mendoza. I'm the Director of Education for Fletcher Pilates. I apologize for not being up there with you guys and apologize for my voice. Hopefully I will hold out through any questions. I think that just to kind of give an overview of where we're at, we're exactly on track with what our projections were, what we were expecting. Functionality-wise, we're pleased that we have gotten to the point in terms of paying completely off credit card balances, so that we're working on those on kind of as they come, as well as paying down our line of credit, which has happened since the end of the third quarter, so that doesn't show in the financials that you have. But from a functionality perspective, we're pleased that we're there while still maintaining cash within the bank and increased net income overall for this quarter. We're looking to end right about where our projections have for the fourth quarter were stated.
Okay. So just to recap, December of, well, for fiscal year 17, you had a loss of $9,300.
Mm-hmm.
Year 18, and that to a loss of $6,200. As of Q3, you showed an income net increase of $51,400. Correct.
You've
decreased your credit card debt from $23,000 to $4,000.
Correct.
So the notes that I have here in bold with the exclamation points is nice. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I think we had a sense of the trajectory that you were on in previous visits. call out that it's a lot of hard work, and we're very glad that you guys are doing well.
Yes. The one issue you brought up before was just seeing if there's a different way we could track customer deposits, because that's still going to be something, just because we're smaller, that is going to always kind of not look so great at year end for us. But we'll have that conversation again with our accountant when we're working out our year end financials and see if there's any way of carrying that would maybe show a little bit better for us. But we're pleased with where things are at, and already seeing things income projected for first quarter that will keep things going forward as well. So
those are reflected, I don't have it in front of me, but I think as deposits, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Customer deposits and our liabilities.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so again, I mean, talk to your accountant. I'm not an accountant, but I think you're showing it as a current liability because you haven't provided the trainings, right, that people have made deposits.
Correct.
You should also show it as a current asset. Because otherwise, your current ratio looks terrible. It's reality. So it would cheer up the staff, you know, when they do the calculation to see it as I think it as it would be accurately portrayed. And I think, you know, and I think for you, you may find that having that in place, as you do your balance sheet, that you may have access to capital that pay better terms than
mm-hmm.
a lot of credit or something from the bank.
Right. Continue to look into that.
So what Dr. Mittman is suggesting to you is that it will look more conventional or professional to have it listed as a current asset so that when you could go to a bank and perhaps get mm-hmm. much better financing than you could get with your credit cards.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you've survived another year. This is really good.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Good. I hope you feel better quickly and have a nice holiday.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi. I heard a yay in the audience. That must be from images, so that must be Jackie Fisher yaying background.
From Downward Dog to,
actually, she's off the phone now, but my brother has a Pilates machine. It's called a reform.
Oh, yeah.
Pilates is this very, you don't do down dog in it. But if you don't know what you're doing, it's not a good idea, but my brother is like, but anyway. Core exercise. Okay. Getting back to Ms. Fisher. Introduce yourself and give us a statement.
I'm Jacqueline Fisher, and I'm with EII. I'm the owner. And so I just want to point out a few things. I listen to everything you guys say, and I bring it back, and I process it. And I actually like this stuff because it kind of...
Record that. Can we record that for my wife? Can we send it to my wife so somebody listens to what...
Let me tell you, just about everything. So, in fact, I just picked up on the last thing. So, with that being said, we have increased our continuing education courses, and we are primarily advertising. Our advertising expense is half of what it was previous years. for year-to-date, and it's because we advertise and we work with employers to help the gentleman that's maybe been digging benches for 9 years to maybe become a spray tech and that sort of stuff. So we've kind of shifted a lot of gears to continuing education, and it's decreased a lot of expense as far as advertising and also even teaching it, because a lot of the employers prefer that they can do to assist teaching. So it kind of customizes their program for them. We have decreased our expenses with subleasing our space, and we no longer have the West Phoenix location, which was about $10,000 a month overhead cost. So we now pay $1,500 a month rent, and then the utility bill never goes over $100 at our new location in Chandler. So that helps. Although we are still, when you're new in a neighborhood, it takes you a while to get to know all the agencies and stuff again. So we are in that state right now. We're excited that the MVD laws have changed in February, and they'll come in effect in February to be enforced. That takes the large carriers out of teaching with on-the-job training, and it increases our enrollments as a licensed school. So with that being said, we chose to do a line of credit as a primary way of to order our lease line, because lease line is 19% to 22%, and a line of credit is only 9%. So we're working away at that, plugging away at paying that off with our trucks and stuff like that. We have 2 trucks and 2 trailers. And December we'll finish strong with QuickBooks training. For some reason, we got a lot of accounting and QuickBooks courses that came in December. And January is already booked for CDL in our day class, and we're working on our weekend class.
That it?
We're working hard here.
So your projection for year end is it'll be positive?
Oh yeah, we're already positive. We're at 42, I believe. So we should figure definitely 50. But this is our slow month. We're usually slow this month in January, although it kind of shifted this year. It's November and December. In January, we're already booked.
Great.
For our classes. Okay. Our classes are small. We can only fit 4 a truck. So, and we do that in accounting, too. We only put 4 in per accounting.
And your cash flow is good?
It's positive, yeah. So currently,
how positive?
Today, we're in $20,000 a day, and at the end of November, it was $12,500 after everything was paid.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like you're trending well.
We're working hard. We eliminated a lot of staff, and I made my son, which is Mike, that's usually here, come back into the office and work. And I'm teaching the accounting courses, and I'm teaching the permanent makeup courses.
Okay. Until you build up enrollment.
Yeah, yeah. So we're decreasing the cost while we're trying to build the enrollments and, you know, just getting Phoenix started. So that's good news on Phoenix is we're not losing money on Phoenix. We're enrolling enough to at least pay the overhead cost.
Right. Getting rid of the extra space, saving that $10,000 a month is
great.
Huge. Yeah. Good. You're managing it well.
I also gave you a nice in all caps.
Oh, thank you.
I think good.
Triple exclamation points.
Just said nice. But it was all cap. You had lost about $50,000, $41,000 last year. Mm-hmm. You just showed about $51,000 profit.
Yep.
So I have a question. You were hanging out in the back of the room with Fred Lockhart.
Yes.
So just out of curiosity, you mentioned that you listen to everything we say, but I suspect that spending time with Fred, being a member of the association,
I think it's vital for all of it. I've learned a lot off of you in my board meetings, and I hear everything you guys say, and I just process everything. I'm like a sponge. Actually, I would have to say it's all of it. This young lady right here has seen me since the early 2000s. She can tell you how much I've grown, and she's probably guided me the most.
There you go.
Well, and our data, you know, from week to week, day to day, to know that you can pick up the phone and talk to Mr. Lockhart is invaluable.
I even have him on my cell phone.
Yeah.
I have his cell phone, too.
You only see us periodically, but to know you have a resource there is very valuable.
Absolutely. I think the whole thing, the whole unit.
Okay. And then you had a line of credit that was maturing in August. Has that been renewed? Or
So it's perpetual every August. It just keeps renewing. Now, I did catch on what you just said about the credit cards. I'm thinking maybe I'll just call them and increase that and pay off the credit cards because the interest rate is lower. And then we're done with all that, too.
Yeah.
See,
okay.
It's very difficult to borrow money when you're losing money. The banks tend not to want to lend. Once you're in the positive and you're demonstrating the ability to make income, it's much easier to go and ask for, you know, just even a small loan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Decent interest rates.
Good credits. And this isn't my only job.
Okay.
So I have income elsewhere. So
great.
I think that the banks just sign here.
Yes.
So. All right, well, great. Well, thank you so much. It's
Dr. Nice
to see you. And congratulations on good work. However,
I just have one quick question. So the location that you have here in the Phoenix market is?
It's 3029 North Alma School, Chandler.
Okay, thank you very much.
Change of location
from the Sherman, West Sherman.
That's right.
That's great.
202 is going right over that.
I just showed the address is still there, so I need to make that change.
Right, and you were having a problem, like a road construction problem in Tucson, also. Is that
not where we are. We're in Palo Verde and Ajo.
All right, never mind.
We have great access. We are walking distance from WIOA.
Good. Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Fisher. Have a nice.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. New Horizons.
Hello. I'm Steve Paulkus, Chief Financial Officer for the company. And I'm here with the call today are Cindy Sutherland, our Vice President, and Vic Amirian, our Chief Operating Officer. And we have a brief statement for the board. We are reporting net educational revenue for the quarter of $1.7 million. Education expenses of $1.5 with a gross income then of $0.2 and other expenses primarily relating to franchise royalties resulted in net income for the quarter of $100,000. Year to date through 9 months, our revenue stood at $4.5 million with education expenses of $3.5 million and net income of $300,000. On the balance sheet as of 9/30, we reflect current assets of $3.1 million, current liabilities of $1.5 million, resulting in a working capital of $1.5 million, a current ratio of 2.1x. And notably included in current liabilities is unearned tuition of $600,000 as we apply ASC 606 to our revenue recognition, which reflects tuition invoice in advance of the applicable class dates based on the billing preferences of our various funding sources. In terms of student count, our census for Arizona started the quarter at 25 and it ended the quarter at 17, as many students completed their program during the third quarter. Our current student count as of, I believe, yesterday was 33, which is an increase of 94% from the end of the quarter and 32% from the beginning of the third quarter. Correspondingly, our fourth quarter forecast is reflecting a revenue expectation of $2 million, bottom line profit of $1.5 million, bringing our full year profit expectation to right around $500,000. We believe job demand for IT positions, along with the gap in computer skills for the workers seeking jobs compared to employer expectations, will continue to have a positive effect both for enrollment and job placement moving forward into 2020, and anticipate our financial results will continue to benefit from these macroeconomic trends, which reflect our core belief that education is the only long-term sustainable competitive advantage for workers and employers. On an admin notice, We're finalizing our 2018 audit. Probably that get done in the early part of 2020, and our 2019 audit will get done virtually concurrently so that we can get those reports back on a regular schedule. And with that, I'd like to yield back to the board for any questions you might have.
Good. Thank you.
This is Chris.
Chris,
can you help us understand there's been significant turnaround from the losses that you had been experiencing. What do you attribute the positive trend to?
Well, part of the positive trend is that we have been looking at the way we've been allocating costs between our two companies. We have an affiliate and we share our common expenses. When we reviewed some of those cost allocations, we felt that they probably weren't the best reflection of the amount of effort that was being related between the two entities, especially with regard to some of the fixed overhead costs. That coupled with our enrollments, I believe, are up this year compared year-to-date compared to where they were last year. And then I don't know, Dick, if you had anything you wanted to add to that.
In addition to that, I think we've really scrutinized our expenses and looked everywhere we can to reduce those. I think that's helped tremendously. We've become a much leaner organization. For example, we continue to do so this year in Q4 and in Q1 of next year. We are currently in the midst of full review and improvement of all of our core processes across the organization to look at where we can reduce waste and improve efficiency. And I think as a organization that subscribes to the Lean Six Sigma methodology, we do that, we continuously do that, and then we do find savings on a regular basis. So that's helped significantly.
Okay, thank you.
On your balance sheet, there's over $1 million in the current assets under unbilled accounts receivable.
That reflects, we have several funding sources for which we're not able to bill them until the completion of the class and a certificate of completion is provided to the funding source. So in those cases, we are accruing revenue as the along the timeline of the class is being taken. So it's kind of like the opposite effect of some of the clients that actually the funding sources are billed ahead of time. So we evaluate those two separately and we report assets separately from liabilities.
That's interesting. So give me an example of like what kind of course, because usually a student enrolls and then if they're receiving financial aid, it comes part of the semester or term, whatever. You're saying that it's the exact opposite. A student enrolls, they get their FAFSA, et cetera, but you don't get paid until the end. So what kind of courses just so that the rest of us avoid?
This is Cindy Sutherland. I can answer that. So it's mainly in trade act students in our California location, along with WIOA. And there's several that don't pay until completion. And that's part of the
again,
contract.
What are those courses?
The Trade Act that are funded through, it's through EDD, it's the Trade Adjustment Act. That's dollars for individuals that the job was outsourced out of the country. And along with several WIOA, we don't get paid until the end, also until they're completed. And also in our Nevada location, several of the workers' comp, they don't pay you until the student has completed.
Okay. Thanks for any other questions?
Right. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Have a nice day and happy holidays.
Thank you, guys. Holidays. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Okay. Speaking of people on the phone, how about some tech talent?
Hi, this is Suzanne Spies, COO of Tech Talent South.
Okay.
Hi, it's Beth Kovac, Corporate Counsel of Tech Town South. I think Suzanne will probably end up doing all the talking.
lucky me. Well, thank you all for having us. Just to give you a brief overview, I wish I had something more exciting for you from Q3, but I think as you're all aware, we were approved late in the quarter. And so our efforts at the end of Q3 and for Q4 have been focused on relaunching marketing and student enrollment. Similar to others, we don't find November and December to be fantastic months to launch programs. People are understandably busy with some other things. And so for that reason, decided to launch in Q1. So the efforts to date are really around the marketing plan and enrollment conversations with prospective students. We have seen good demand from the early efforts. In our experience, demand does continue to accelerate as we get kind of 3 to 4 weeks out from the launch of a class. So we do expect that to continue into January as we get 3 to 4 weeks out. We also do normally see a really nice spike in the beginning of the year with everyone's New Year's resolution. So things are progressing as planned from that perspective, and we're really excited to get the cohort kicked off in February.
Okay.
So if I may ask you a question about your current projection for the end of this year, can you speak to where you think you will end up?
For the Phoenix location specifically, we won't run any classes this year for Phoenix specifically.
I think we mean
the company.
Yeah, so total company continues to do well. We are in 7 states, 12 locations, and we do a B2C business, but we do a very large B2B business, and that is the piece of the business that we've been focused on growing that is growing very strongly. So we should finish the year just shy of $3 million on top line, and everything looks strong from that perspective.
Okay, so $3 million top line and minus the expenses would give you a bottom line. What would you project that to be?
Yeah, the bottom line will be profitable. And so, you know, it'll probably net profit around, you know, the 5 to 8% standpoint.
So about $250,000 to $300,000 of net profit.
I'd say a little less. That's closer to 10%, but yeah, a little less than that.
Okay.
Okay. And your cash position?
Our cash position is in a good place.
Okay.
So your current ratio as of a year ago was roughly 5.3. You had over $1 million in. Can you give us an update on where that is now?
Are you asking about the total company on the AR side specifically?
Just you know, given that you've been in a growth mode and that you know you posted a loss last year, we just want to know cash position.
Yeah, I think we chatted about
cash flow.
I think we chatted about this a little bit during the last meeting. So the loss last year was a decision on our part to take a write-off against AR, something the company had not done in our history previously, and that is what drove the loss last year, and admittedly that write-off related to previous year's business as well. So, and again, all of that write-off is related to the B2C side of the business. As I mentioned, the shift of the business in terms of percentage of the business that is B2C versus B2B began to shift at the end of last year. So the B2C business is still a very important piece of our business because those students ultimately do get funneled into many of our corporate training programs. But by nature of the business shifting, there is a natural shift in terms of the balance sheet as well. Our corporate clients, thankfully, are strong payers, and we don't have any issues from an AR standpoint there. So the B2C piece, you know, continues to be something we always monitor. Unlike others, we have managed that internally ourselves. We have not used third parties on the B2C side, and so, but we have a team in place that reviews that and manages that very closely.
Wow, that's great. That's really good to hear. So on the, let's go back to the your cash position. Do you know approximately how much cash you have on hand?
Yeah, I mean, we have over 300,000 on hand.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay. I have one last question. In your updated org chart, I see Betsy Edeebly, no longer Betsy Hauser. Same Betsy?
Or? That is the same person.
Okay. I kind of assumed that.
Her, so, yep. Yep. Okay. Her legal name is Betsy Hauser.
I'm sorry?
Her legal name is Betsy Hauser.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. We are good, and of the holiday season to you, and we'll talk to you next time.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, Webster University.
Good morning, Arizona. David Handerhan. I'm the campus representative for Luke Air Force Base. I am our campus director at Luke Air Force Base. I'm also tentatively right here at Hill Air Force Base, Utah, managing two campuses at once for some coverage issues. We're ready to report out for the quarter. As far as the Luke Air Force Base campus, there has been no change. We're still on track. There were no issues for this team as far as the Luke campus goes. The look you wanted to make was for our overall campus, and for that we have Maggie Lauer online. She's the senior finance director and controller, and she submitted all the paperwork, which went through Director Stanfill, which I suppose you're looking at now, so I'll turn it over to Maggie.
Good morning. Webster continues to have improvement in our financial operating results year to year, as we did last year. We were up slightly year to date on our revenues versus our budget, and we were better than our budgeted expenses. So we are actually earning more in operating results or net change in assets than our budget was, and basically on track with where we were last. Well, actually, a couple million better than where we were last year on operating net change in assets. We have had a slowdown in our enrollment declines at Webster. We had mentioned in our last call that we have partnered with someone new to help us with enrollment, and we're definitely seeing a growth in our inquiries. We're also seeing improvements in some of our pilot programs that we're having with our international organizations. Our balance sheet remains strong. That's one of Webster's greatest strengths, is that we have a significant quasi-endowment that we can use to fund some of our operating deficits. We also, in our fiscal 19, we had closed on an operating line of credit that helps us during the summer periods where we have some cash flow shortages. Do you have any questions for me?
I do.
Excellent.
So you have an increase in your revenue year over year, a decrease in your expenses year over year, and your net operating income is then more positive in comparison to last year. Was that the $2 million number you had mentioned earlier?
Yes, we have $2 million improvement in net. I'm on the wrong line.
Okay.
We're basically flat on change in net assets. $2 million improvement in operating expenses.
Okay. And so that would still leave you with, for the company, it'll still show a net loss.
We will have another net loss this year.
Okay, but not as bad as the year before.
Not as bad as the year before. So we finished fiscal 19, if you exclude currency, with a net change in assets from operating activities at $14.5 million, and our budget for fiscal 20 is $12.2
million. Okay.
I suspect we will probably do better through expense control again this year, and then next year we should be seeing some new revenue growth opportunities for fiscal 21.
Are the are your enrollments, the total number of enrollments, up year over year?
Our total enrollments, when you say year over year, are you talking about our fiscal 20, where the current fiscal year we're in?
Yes.
The answer is it's mixed bag based on the segment. We do anticipate to be down a little bit versus last year on our total enrollments for fiscal 20. We switched our enrollment partners in the middle of summer, which really impacted our fall intake more than we anticipated. But we are seeing a growth for inquiries for the spring.
So the increase in revenue, would you say that was attributable to increasing the cost of tuition?
We had pretty modest increases for our tuition. I think one of the factors is that we actually brought in our undergraduates at a lower discount rate, our full-time flat fees. We've also had growth through our auxiliary income and some of our operating investment income.
So in the coming year, will you be able to do further, or shall we say, lesser discounts, even more lesser discounts this coming year?
No, we will not be planning on doing a lesser discount rate. Certainly, it's a fine balance on discounting versus making students pay the full tuition rate on how it impacts your enrollment. So the change in our discount rate was to, it did impact the number of students that came.
In a positive way?
Well, we lessened how much we were discounting, so it was not in a favorable way.
Not
there were
negative
fewer
way.
Flat fees.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
What did the discount rate go from what to what?
For full-time freshmen, it went from 63% to 59%.
Went from 53 to 59?
From 63 to 59.
63, got it. Okay. What do you think is the right, what's the sweet spot for that? What do you think?
I can't say that. I would have to engage our enrollment leadership team on that. I think they would probably say somewhere in between. Okay. Is a sweet spot for Webster. Not for everyone else, but for Webster. And just for your information about our overall enrollment, you know, we are mostly a graduate school. We have over 12,000 students worldwide, and we have, you know, fewer than 2,000 that are flat fee undergraduate, traditional undergraduate students. So, you know, our expertise is in the graduate area, and that is what we do in Luke Air Force Base in Arizona as well.
So are you saying that has a different discount rate than your undergraduate?
We have a different price structure for our extended campuses, such as Luke. And yes, of course, for graduate versus undergraduate, we don't do discounting, you know, scholarships for students that are not full-time. So for graduate students who, of course,
part-time. We also have a different pricing structure for military students, which is the vast majority of our students on the Loop Air Force Base in Arizona.
Okay, got it. Great, well, thank you very much. All right, well, have a nice day and happy holidays.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Before we drop to Luke, there was a question that was raised by our provost. Having submitted the figures that we have and demonstrated our track, there was proffered, is Webster going to be required to continue to attend these meetings quarterly, or what's on the agenda for our possibility of moving forward?
As I understand it, you have to show a positive bottom line on your upcoming audit
at least
2 years.
That's the information I was asked to get. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Our pleasure. All right. Take care. Alas. You guys could change your name to A Wizard Education or Best Wizard Education.
Triple A Wizard. Wizard.
A?
Triple A Wizard.
Can I make a motion that we put Wizard Education at the top of the list next time?
I'll not remember that.
But we can change the we could change the agenda. Well, thanks for coming here, and can you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Beth Wichman, and I'm the executive director.
Carl Lynn, the CEO.
All right. You have a statement for us?
Yes, sir, I do. We're just addressing some of the changes that we said that we were making the last quarter that we were here. And, you know, kind of our outlook for this quarter and the end of the year also. Things really went well for us in our new cohort, our paramedic program that started a couple weeks ago, November 7th, whatever it was. And so that put our paramedic enrollment up significantly, almost doubled. Last year we had a total of 27. It was pretty dismal in the whole year. This year, for both cohorts, we have 47 students that have enrolled. So our non-academic classes, like the CE classes and the AHA, American Heart Association classes, are all, enrollment's about the same, which we consider to be a significant win, considering the way things are going and that avenue or that part of the business and stuff. People are starting to do their own, you know, big entities are starting to do their own training classes and that type of stuff. So we feel holding our own was a pretty good thing. We've got our teleconference equipment all paid off. We've had a further reduction in our payroll expenses. Basically, we had a pretty significant payroll expense where the person was not available. We had to backfill him, so that has been fixed. Continuing to cut our costs and still work diligently to decrease the expenses that we have, make things more efficient. We've got a new accountant and a new banker that we've been working with, specifically to be more strategic in the way that we have money that was borrowed and put on credit cards and different lines of credits and stuff. So we're working with them right now to kind of realign things and be way more strategic in our debt and getting that paid off than we have been in the past. Let's see what else do I have. The other thing that we're doing is we're looking at different avenues, I guess, if you will, on how to take our business and our school to the next level. We feel really blessed that we were able to get where we are now with our paramedic accreditation, our ABHES accreditation, our post-secondary, private post-secondary, all the things that we've accomplished as a group of pretty dedicated individuals that have got us this far. And Some of us are a little tired, and we want some help to kind of springboard it. So we're looking at 2020 as being hopefully a pretty good year that we can really advance our school into some different areas and things. So the other thing that I'd like to make sure that everybody understands, I'm new to this position. I'm not new to the business. I've been in the business in the school since its inception. I'm one of its owners. And I'm not new to being a CEO, but I am new to this aspect of the business. By that I mean the regulatory. I've dealt with regulatory agencies my whole entire career, but this is just a little bit different. The academia is kind of unique to me, so I'm learning this, and Beth also. So one of the things that we have found a little bit challenging, I guess, is to sometimes take our business as a whole, because we do not only the paramedic program, but also the non-academic stuff that still provides us a significant income, and kind of divide those things and be specific about here is our paramedic program, and kind of take it out of the mix and things. So hopefully the numbers that Beth reported were in the right place, I guess. I don't know how else to put it. But if they're not, and the other thing I hear comments from the other folks saying that you have notes and that sort of thing. So I was a little bit unsure whether it would be acceptable for us to send notes and or P&Ls and that type of stuff to you prior to showing up. Is that something that should be done? Is normally done?
Normally, it depends upon the institution. They always submit the quarterly report. Sometimes they submit just a
okay.
It's not required, but
okay. Since we don't get Title IV, and we don't have housing, and we don't have all these things, I wasn't sure where to put numbers in the form. So that's why I use most of our audit as the numbers, because
I think you're a combination of your audit, which would be annually, but also quarterly financials.
Okay. Right. Yeah, we can
make sure that happens. Yes. I just want the form, the previous 2 year form that I was given, it had all these categories that we just don't have. So I was like,
everybody has, I mean, probably nobody has all the categories, but they're all there.
Gotcha.
Yes. So as far as our outlook, we had 25 paramedic students started in our first cohort this year. We had 22 start the second cohort this year. So that puts us in really good position. I can address any other types of questions you have about numbers, but right now we're sitting as of this date at about 62,000 net income net, and we have about $172,000 that are, I'll check that, $107,000 that are account receivable. But the 62 is a net right now at this point in history. I anticipate by the end of the year, I don't see it going somewhere around 50,000 probably as far as net income for 2019.
And cash in the bank?
Cash in the bank is...
You have to remember it's more important than Paul's mom.
Yes, yes. Bird in the hand, right? We're right at $68,000.
Marvelous. That's great. And you've been accredited by APES for how long?
We started it in 13.
Start the process.
Yeah.
And you're not using any Title IV funding. And the reason for that is?
We just never went there.
We've been overwhelmed trying to get where we're at. And kind of one of the things that we're looking at, you know, in the 2020.
Yeah. I mean, there's different variations of what schools, you know, how deep do you want to get with the government? Mm-hmm. Some schools will only do, say, Pell Grants. They don't want to partner with students in terms of lend, you know, being
a lender,
you know, or partnering with the government to be sort of the co-lender, if you will, to the students, and they just go with Pell Grants. But how long is your paramedic course?
10 months.
10 months. And how many credits?
Clock hours.
Clock hours.
It's clock hours.
Maybe 600 to get a partial Pell.
We've actually considered other types of, you know, funding for the students. And we've done a few things, sort of partnered with a bank that could come and apply and this, that, and the other. We did look at one. It was a private opportunity too, but we would have to fund them as, you know, as the school. We would have to and
back it. Right.
I've been in the business a long time. I know these folks, and the ones that don't have the money are not really, really dedicated.
Sure. Know,
to put the effort and the money into it. If they really want to do this job, they will find the money.
All right. So, so you're running on a cash basis. That's great. Good for you.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And we do give them the option to pay by trimester. So, and that helps them out a lot.
Sure.
Most of our students are full-time employed as well as going to school. So it's a lot on them to find those hours and shift their shifts around so other people will cover their shifts while they're in class.
Right.
So we have a lot of really good employers that put their students through our...
Okay. Are most of them EMTs?
They're all... They have to be an EMT before you're a paramedic. So. In Peoria, city of Peoria.
And Carl, you're a paramedic?
Yes. I'm retired now.
Or maybe both of you. I don't know.
Yeah. I was an EMT.
Paramedic, I don't know why.
I was.
You were too?
I was an EMT, but
so
not anymore.
You're retired. Did you ever teach ACLS?
I'm a training center faculty for ACLS.
Yeah. Did you know Conrad Kale?
Who?
Conrad Kale. He was a paramedic many years ago. Then he was a naturopathic doctor. And I thought I took an ACLS course from you. It's possible. So all that aside, and I guess the other question is, before I give you like the nice, you had a net loss of 52,000 2 years ago, a net loss of 13,000 last year, and now you are on track for, at least as of September, you were at positive.
Yeah, that was before our November start date, so.
Okay, so you're in really good shape, but how about your, in terms of your assets to liabilities, is that still kind of upside down?
I didn't figure that part out.
That's fine. I'm going to give you a super nice anyway. So congratulations.
Nice.
It's good because we started the morning talking about a company that lost $110 million.
Oh, my geez, oh, Pete's.
Over the entire time that they've been coming here. And it's good that we get to finish with a small, hardworking, dedicated group who have done just the opposite. So congratulations.
And just thank you for that. But briefly, I'm looking at assets and liabilities being on the positive side.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. We'll have a great holiday. And,
same.
Yep.
All right. And now... in California time, we're going to go all the way back.
Oh.
So we're going to have to go.
Thank you.
The whole thing. Bye, you guys.
Have a good
Thanks.
Day.
Bye, Karen. Thank you.
College?
Robert should be on the line.
Yes.
I'm on the line. My apologies for having.
Although I have the gavel, we could be like, you know, let's get out of here early. All right, Carrington College, please introduce yourselves.
Yes, this is Robert Hendrickson. I'm Vice President of Compliance for Ember Education, which is a division of San Joaquin Valley College, which wholly owns Carrington Colleges.
Okay, good. Do you care to make a statement?
Yes, San Joaquin Valley College, Inc. and Ember Education is very invested in its Arizona campuses of Carrington College, as it is with all of its campuses. We were able to turn a net profit at three of our four locations, and then a net profit if you add them all together. The difference in our budget allocation for projected income is really offset by a increased investment in our student recruitment budget, which in the location in Tucson is double what was originally budgeted. And for Mesa, which was four times what was originally budgeted for that location. Organizationally, I think we are in a healthy state. We have additional programs that are set that have been submitted for review by the board in Arizona as evidence of our continued investment and commitment to our Arizona campuses.
Great. Questions?
Sir, can you tell us a little bit about the parent company and where you feel your year end will finish in terms of profitability?
So, according to our Q3 budget statement, there's $1 million loss as the current status. This is in part the result of an investment in resources, particularly in student recruitment across the Carrington brand. The San Joaquin Valley College brand across California is having a banner year. They far exceeded budget projections in terms of students as well as net profitability. Carrington has been a little bit of a refurbish or a trying to increase the awareness with new marketing campaigns and additional marketing strategies. The integration of the two brands has resulted in additional expenditures. But overall, I think the organization is in good financial health, and will finish the year probably even, based upon current projections through Q4. Mm.
Any guesstimate as to what the composite score will be?
We should be in excess of the 1.5 right now. Our current total assets is about $127 million compared to total liabilities of $87
million. I think their composite score last year was 2. They have before the merger. So the merger really took down your net income because your net income the previous year was over 26.
Correct. There was a cash consideration at the time of purchase to sort of facilitate the improvement of the Carrington brand. I think it had been the status of prep for sale for a period of time, and so the additional investment in the brand has been taking place. There had been a decrease in tuition across the system in 2018, so there are active students who paid less than what had been the previous cohort expense. Total program cost. We have readjusted the tuition back up in February of this year to increase back to previously where it was previously with a small increase for cost of operation. And then now we have the new students that are coming in paying what was probably the correct tuition in the first place. So as we graduate the students at the lower tuition costs, we're replacing them on a student-by-student basis with a more accurate cost in order to meet margin.
Okay. Great. Can I get a motion, please?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to grant an approval for the license.
Are we we making the motion, or we're recommending to the motion? We're going to vote. Yeah. Just the two of them.
Yep. Just need a second.
You have the authority and rule.
All right. We're going to do it then. All right. And I second.
Maintain the bond and continue quarterly?
Yes. There's a stipulation that the bond will stay in place for the time being, and also you'll continue to be on quarterly reporting. Is that something Carrington is willing to agree to?
Yes, we will.
All right, thank you.
All right, I will call the roll. Paul Mittman, aye.
Dick Lupke, aye.
The ayes have it. All right. Well, great. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hendrickson, and have a great day and a nice holiday.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you all, too.
Bye. We call the public? 5 minutes of extra lunch. Right?
11:55. Thank you.
So, is Carrie?